And he saw and he believed. You know, when I was in high school, one of my favorite subjects was applied mathematics. Now, I'm not sure if you know what or even have that subject over here, but applied math is the intersection between physics and mathematics. And the reason why I loved it is because it brought all your math skills to a practical situation, practical application of a problem. So, for example, you have a pool table. We'll give you an example. Would be they have a pool table. You've got the balls positioned a certain way, and you have to figure out. It gives you all the dimensions of the ball, the friction of the table, the length of your stick, and tells you what angle you need to play the ball at what speed will it get to hit the ball hole. So I could do it mathematically. Never managed to play it very well, but it does work mathematically very well of what exactly you need to do. But that's why I loved it. It was applied math to real life. Why do I bring that up? Because I think we as people of faith are called to take our theology and our faith, and we're called to apply it into our lives in practical everyday life. In that sense, it's like our prayer and contemplation is to be cross-sectioned with our action in the world. I mean, there has to be some sort of play between the two of those. So that's what our project is as people of faith, is to live out and to practice our faith in the real world. So today we gather here, we gather on Easter Sunday, we say we believe that Jesus is risen from the dead and we believe in the resurrection. So what does that mean for us? How does that in fact change or in any way inform our daily living in our real life? Well, I think one of the biggest challenges we have with the resurrection is that we celebrate and we talk about it so much. We've come to Easter so often, it's like, yeah, Christ is risen from the dead. Yeah, what time's dinner? Or yeah, okay, what time's everyone coming over? Who's got the wine? Who's got the food? We get absorbed with the celebration of it, but we forget to actually live it out in practical, real terms. And so, unfortunately, familiarity has sort of engendered a little bit of contempt, a little bit of sort of like so what sort of deal. And that's a really dangerous thing for people of faith, because then it's problematic for us to live out our faith. And so it's like, I think of it as like this movie. Do you ever see that movie, The Sixth Sense with Bruce Willis? Do you remember that? So let me tell you a little bit about it. So Bruce Willis plays a child psychologist, and he just got an award for being so great. But then one of his child patients comes to him, shoots him, and kills himself. And he goes into a complete meltdown. He starts realizing that he must have failed his child, and he goes to search what did he miss in helping this child. But along comes another child who has the exact same hallucinations. He sees the dead. The quintessential line from the kid says, "I see dead people." And so the whole movie is about how he helps this child figure out why is he seeing the dead people and how he can help the dead people, and the story goes from there and there. Where the real spoiler alert, so if you haven't seen it, I've just spoiled it now in a second. So here's what happens. So he realizes, so one day he's helping this kid and then realizes that he, the psychiatrist, Bruce Willis, is in fact the dead one. The only reason the boy can see him is because he is dead. And so it's a great movie. If you haven't seen it, I've just spoiled it, but that's the way it is. But like, here's the part with that, is that once you've heard the story, once you've seen it once, it's like, yeah, I know the end of the story. I know how this works. I know how it ends. And we tend to like, oh yeah, see it, but it just doesn't have the same punch anymore, because we know, because when you see that movie, it's like, oh, I never saw that coming. Oh, it's not like a cool. So that's the thing, is we know the story of the resurrection. We know he raises him to death. It's like, yeah, I know this one. And we sort of like gloss over it. But people, we need to understand that's huge. That's the whole story. The resurrection is powerful. That's where our faith comes alive. That's where you and I must, this is the words, this is it. The struggle we is when we start to unpack it a little bit, we have to really take, what does it mean? Oh, like, for example, in the midst of our darkness of the world, where is God? I mean, that's what we read in the scriptures. And last night, we had seven different readings and seven different responsorial psalms where we listened to the scriptures in the ancient times lament and cry out to God, where are you? Why are you so silent? Well, we too could say the same thing. Where is God when the Nazis slaughtered millions of people? Where is God when all the genocides have taken place in just the last century? Hundreds of thousands and millions of people slaughtered. Where was God when the tsunamis and the earthquakes and the natural disasters that happened time and time again? Where is God when our mother is dying? Where is God when our father is sick and disabled? Where is God when our child is sick with a cancer that's incurable? Where is God? Why is he so silent? And the answer is the resurrection. God has the last word always. And his answer is the resurrection. Is it no matter where and how much pain we're in, that God is there. And that even though we shall die, God is there, and indeed he will be there, and we will be with him for all eternity. The resurrection simply says that love triumphs over hatred, that blessing triumphs over curse, that graciousness triumphs over bitterness and pettiness, that peace triumphs over war, that God triumphs over Satan, and that forgiveness triumphs over sin. That is the final word of Christ, the resurrection. Now we have to internalize that and live it. I mean, it's great that we're all here. Don't get me wrong, it's wonderful. But if that's all we do, it's an absolute scandal to the gospel. It's an absolute scandal to our faith. Is all we do is come here and celebrate and go home and have a nice big dinner. That is not Easter. That is not our faith, and is most not certainly the resurrection. What we need to do is we need to go and live it. Apply our learning, apply what we believe is it, so that when we have our pain, our darkness, when we have our darkness, that we shine the light, that we are the light in this often darkened world. Because if it's not you or I, then who? We're the ones who gather here on a Sunday. We are the ones today who claim to believe in Jesus. If not us, then who? So then what does it mean for us? It means that when we are in the midst of hatred, that we will take it in, hold it, and give back love. When we get curses, we will take it in, hold it, and give back blessing. That when we get murderous and hatred that's torn away, that we absorb it in and we give back peace. That when we get fear and ugliness, that we absorb it, hold it, and give back freedom. That when we get all the different traits of Satan and all his empty promises, we take them in, we hold them, transform it, and we give back God in all his wonder. That in the end, we take in sin, our own and others, we hold it, we transform it, and we give back forgiveness. That is the resurrection. That is the final word that says, hate will not have my day. Love will always win. My friends, today we gather and celebrate, and so we should. But we also come to live it, because God has the last word, and it is the resurrection. He is risen, and he is in you and I.